Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, all the social media there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can send me an email if you'd like. Also, scroll down, sign up for the newsletter. You get an email Monday through Saturday telling you what's going to be on the show, what we'll talk about, some news stories, and much more. Again, joepags.com. Also, on the Blaze Radio Network, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. So, we've got a lot going on to talk about this coronavirus that has completely dominated every part of our lives. You know, it's interesting because many of us, you know, do our own thing. We don't agree on a ton. Some of us agree on some. We don't like the same things. We don't like the same movies. We don't like the same food necessarily. I mean, generally speaking, we all eat and stuff and watch movies and things. But we all have our own likes and dislikes. We all have our own lives. We don't really get into each other's business that much. But now everybody is facing the same exact thing. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. It's interesting in a bad way. I wish that we weren't facing this. But everybody facing the exact same thing. Everybody has very similar questions. Everybody has very similar concerns. Some people are reacting differently than others. But again, you wake up in the morning, you go to bed at night, and you're thinking about this coronavirus that started in Wuhan, China. This, now we're calling it COVID-19, which means coronavirus disease 2019. It's all encompassing. It's omnipresent. It's ubiquitous, some would say. It's everywhere. We wake up, what are we going to do today? What are we going to eat today? Are we going to get it? Is it in the air today? Can we walk outside? Can we breathe? Can we look? Can we smell? Can we talk to our friends? Can we FaceTime? Can FaceTime do the coronavirus? Everybody's just completely up in arms. And I've mentioned this consistently for weeks now. We're like this because we don't have enough information. The president's doing a good job in giving us a daily press briefing. That's necessary. I'm glad he's doing that. We need to hear from the coronavirus task force. But when you hear that, you know, Laredo, Texas is going to charge you $1,000 in a fine if you don't have a mask when you're walking around outside, it makes you say, why? When you're hearing that some municipalities are saying, you know, let's put an ankle bracelet monitor on people who have coronavirus to make sure they stay in the house. Really? Well, why? You know what I mean? It makes you think. Why don't we have more complete information? Is it because China withheld the information for so long that it's hard to get any facts? One of the lead scientists who was studying coronavirus when it first started is dead, allegedly from coronavirus. But we don't really know that. China could have just offed him. We don't know. So we can't get information from him. China's opening their wet markets again, which makes no sense. It's where it started. China's pretending like, oh, it's gone here. We don't have it anymore. It's gone. Oh, BS. No, it's not. We have no idea why it started, what started it. We think maybe from bats, maybe because people eat bats in China. It's like a little bat soup on a Saturday, right? So we just don't have the information from there, and it's about them saving face. It's about their honor. And also the state-run media in China has been pushing the narrative that somehow we had the virus first and we gave it to China. Oh, shut up. They've got the leftist media here literally giving talking points from the Chinese government and touting the praises of how well China has handled this. They have no idea what China's doing with it because they all got kicked out. So you're stuck inside, probably. Only essential jobs are up and running. Our economy, which was the best in history, has screeched to a halt. You've got the left trying to make hay out of this at every turn. At every turn. They don't even want the news conferences covered anymore. Now, of course, we all have free will. If we don't want to watch the president and the news conferences, we don't want to educate ourselves on what's going on, we can just shut it off. But no, the media wants it forcibly shut off. You're not allowed to cover it. Oh, and by the way, people who do what I do, me specifically, I should shut up too. This is what the left is doing in this country. AOC yesterday put out a tweet that the coronavirus is somehow racist. Racist! Yeah, the virus is only attacking black and brown people, it turns out. Which is, of course, patently untrue. It doesn't care what color you are, what race you are, what background you are. It infects wherever it can. And is extremely contagious. How contagious? Really a lot. I would tell you more specifically, but nobody's telling us. So, what are you doing with the time? Kids doing homeschooling? Mine are. Well, not homeschooling. They're doing online schooling with the schools where they should be right now. Are you okay with the economy being completely shut down? What do and don't we know? I think there's way more unknown than known. I mean, very, very smart people that are in my circle, way smarter than I'll ever be, are freaking out. This is worse than we think, man. They're not telling us everything. What the hell don't we know? And think about it. You haven't really gotten a good answer to this one yet. And it's a real question. It's a valid question. By the way, I take a bunch of your phone calls today, too. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Definitely want your thoughts on what you and your family are facing right now. Whether your job is good to go or you're furloughed or laid off. Money is on the way. Got to either be injected into your bank account, or you can apply for unemployment, or you can apply for a small business loan, or even a large business loan. Money is on the way. We have to keep the economy flowing. You can't just not have an economy. That doesn't make sense. You got to keep it going. But what are you facing? What are you going through? Because as soon as we think we're a day closer to this thing being over, more lockdowns, more shutdowns, more numbers coming in. Oh, by the way, don't believe the idea that we have the most cases on the planet. We have no idea how many people have it, had it, and died from it in China. No idea, and they're never going to tell us. Keep in mind, if you're in China and you look up Tiananmen Square in the late 80s, they're going to say that one person died after an accidental ricochet of a bullet, when in fact, more accurate reports suggest thousands and thousands died in Tiananmen Square. They were run over by tanks. So you can't trust what's coming out of China. And therefore, you can't trust what's coming out of our big media. Because they're lying to make China look better. And somehow making China look better makes Trump look worse, which is what they want. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. I also did a parody this week. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it, to be honest with you. My daughter Gabby suggested that I use an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. And it's a good suggestion, but the problem is the band sings it, the singers sing it in falsetto. My falsetto wasn't cooperating that great this week, so I didn't do it in falsetto. I did it in full voice. But you know what? It's a little fun. It's a little something to do while you're COVID-19ing at home. So here's the Pags parody, Stay at Home. Yeah, it's to the tune of Sing a Song by Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's a great song. My Monday through Friday crew gave me a lot of crap because they didn't like it. But you know what? You got nothing else going on a Saturday. Bring it! When you feel down and out, stay at home and scream and shout. There's no time to pout. Stay at home and don't go out. Here we go. Spend some time on your hip. Stay at home, no one's gonna care. Don't go out, just stay clear. Stay at home in your underwear. Everybody. I don't care. It's fun. Don't even give me that look. You know you're chair dancing, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you. Turn it up. We'll take you there one more time.
Do you have enough TP? If you do, you're fancy free. None on the shelves, you see. Pastors behind.
That's how we do it, Pax Parody. Stay at home. All right, your thoughts on coronavirus, COVID-19, the Chinese virus, whatever the hell we're calling it today. Your thoughts on that, your thoughts on the measures that are being taken by government, your thoughts on the allegation that China's numbers are real, which they're not, and the media and how they're covering this. Instead of giving the president the proper respect and airing the news conference every day, what they do is they ask dumb questions and then complain about him, you know, the entire time afterwards, when, in fact, all we really want is information. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. I appreciate you stopping by. Plenty of time for plenty of phone calls. And people have questions, they have comments, they have concerns. I don't know everything about everything. I pay a lot of attention, though. It's part of my job, and I'll give you whatever answers I can. And certainly commiserate with you as we try to get through this. And we need to get done with this sooner than later, because enough is enough already. The county where I live, just, that's it. Stay-at-home order. Really? There's a stay-at-home order. Not only for where I live, but probably for where you live and for where many people live. And the economy completely shut down. What we have found out, that government now knows that it can, in basically no time at all, shut down an entire society. Shut down an entire people. Now, this is a virus that's serious. But the vast majority of people who get it don't die. And they get over it. One question that I'm having a hard time getting an answer to, and I asked Dr. Ben Carson this later. Once you have it, are you now immune to it? Can you not get it again? And if you can't get it again, and this is basically affecting those who have previous health issues or the elderly, why aren't we just ordering the elderly and those who have serious medical issues to stay in and self-quarantine while the economy gets back at work? Now, I don't want anybody to die. I want anybody to get sick. But we're talking about shutting down an entire society to the point to where people are starting to freak out. And we still have, I think, less information than we should have, which is kind of weird. It just is. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you stopping by and taking the time. It's going to be Christina, who is in California. Christina, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, a lot's going on. I'm Tea Party Red in a deep blue state. And Fresno County has about 982,000 people. Our health department announced yesterday that there's 100 confirmed cases and one dead, and that was an elderly gentleman.
Yeah.
You cannot treat these rural counties like you would the high-density stack-and-pack cities.
Right.
Bury the dead, treat the sick, and open up the country.
I agree with you, but the problem is there are so many unknowns. If you can still get it again once you've had it, that could be an issue. If you're somebody who's carrying it and you're not smart and you go and visit people at the old folks' home, that's a problem. And that's why they're freaking out and trying to lock everybody down. But I'm with you. The vast majority of the country is not L.A. County, is not New York City, is not New Orleans where they're having a problem right now. It's not Dallas where they're having a problem right now. Why not open up the rest of America and let us get back to work? And again, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to get sick. But the vast majority of people get this, get over it, and then continue with their lives.
Well, do you know what is on the rise? Our police department said domestic violence calls are on the rise.
They are.
If you trap an unemployed, angry, abusive parent in the house, society will break down, but it's going to start in the house.
Christine, I hear you, and that's a real concern. Also on Drudge today, it turns out business burglaries in New York City are up 75%. So we're telling everybody to stay home, telling everybody to lock down, telling everybody to not leave, self-quarantine, social distancing, and the story in the Wall Street Journal says burglaries of businesses have risen in New York City under emergency measures to fight the new coronavirus, according to New York Police Department data, and some businesses are boarding up their storefronts. The NYPD has seen a 75% increase in reports of burglaries of commercial establishments from March 12th when the New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio declared a state of emergency to March 31st. 75% increase. Because nobody's there. And businesses are just sitting ducks. And we still don't really know when the end is. When will the end be near? And I keep asking any expert I can get on the phone and on the shows. Listen, when do we know that we're around the corner? When do we know that we're flattening the curve we keep hearing? When do we know that it's starting to be safe to live again? And you're not getting a straight answer. It's so odd to me. It just is. Walter, Michigan, what's going on?
Hi. Well, before I trash our governor in Michigan, I just want to say I agree with all the safe distancing and all the hand washing, 100%.
Yeah.
But Whitmer is rehearsing for the White House, and she's one of three candidates to run with Biden for vice president. She's going over the top. She shut down all our golf courses. Well, give me credit for not shaking hands with my plane partners and not sharing a card and staying 10 feet away. What could be safer than being outside? She shut down the state parks. You can't go to any parks. Michigan is full of parks, and the residents can't go there because there's been evidence of people gathering. Well, then give them a ticket and trust the rest of us.
Yeah.
And fishing. She has attacked fishing because there's been four people in a boat. Well, what if I took my wife and my kids with me and went fishing? There'd be five of us. And, I mean, unbelievable. It's like telling everybody they can no longer drive their cars on the expressway because some people speed.
Gretchen Whitmer is a fool. I mean, Bill Schuette should have won that election, but I'm told that his campaign wasn't good enough. Gretchen Whitmer is the one who wanted to add 45 cents a gallon to gas just because she could.
45 cents a gallon.
Yeah, 45 cents a gallon just in Michigan. Also, Gretchen Whitmer is one who said hydroxychloroquine should not be prescribed by anybody, even though it was FDA approved. For as malaria treatment. Now it's been FDA approved to treat this, and now she's backed away from that. She's not a very good governor, and you guys really messed up by electing her. I got to be honest with you. I appreciate the phone. I hear you. Somebody brought up the golf courses yesterday on the show too, on the Joe Pags show. By the way, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, the Joe Pags show, 130 stations now. Find one near you. If you don't have one, go to my website, joepags.com, and send me an email, and I'll let you know if there's one near you. But somebody else called in about golf courses. I'm not sure I understand that. On a golf course, you're not standing anywhere near each other like that. You can stay 6 to 8 feet apart easily. You can walk the course and not take a golf cart. Why would that be an issue? And if I go boating with my family, all of whom were locked into a house together, we go and sit in a boat together, how does that somehow a higher risk for us? It's not. That's just dumb. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Plenty of time for your phone calls. A lot of people calling in. Keep it right here on the weekend with Joe Pags. Across the land, JoePags.com, all the social media there, plus the live video feed. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. Also, glad to be on the Blaze Radio Network. All of you guys saw this, but Steven Crowder over at the Blaze actually uncovered who this person was, who she and her husband allegedly took this chloroquine phosphate, which is a fish tank cleaner in Arizona. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They allegedly took it because the president told them that chloroquine somehow was going to help them. That's the allegation. Turns out the woman's got a serious history of violent behavior. Turns out she is a donor to Hillary Clinton and to far leftist groups. Turns out in 2012, I guess she was trying to get a divorce from this husband. The husband died. She didn't. She claims they took chloroquine phosphate, which was not ever talked about. They took that because the president told them to, and he said it constantly. And by the way, the president never told anybody to take that. He said he was hopeful that it could be used as some sort of medication to help those suffering from coronavirus. It's a malaria drug prescribed by a doctor. Fish tank cleaner is not prescribed by a doctor. Just going to help you out with that. Turns out a lot of holes in that story that the big media is not covering because they like the idea that they can blame Trump for this guy's death. Of course, he had nothing to do with it, but they like that idea. They think that's okay. Again, it's hydroxychloroquine. It's a medicine approved for malaria. Now the FDA has approved it for use on patients suffering from coronavirus. So people like Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, had to change her tune when she was saying that I'm going to make an executive order that you can't prescribe chloroquine. Well, it's not up to you, Sparky. Your governor in Nevada, tell him another doofus's name. That governor also was banning the prescription of chloroquine. You know why? Because he's an idiot. There are people in big government that are making decisions that prove that you never should have elected them to begin with. Monday through Friday, they hear me in Las Vegas. Today, you hear me in Reno. You should hear me in Reno Monday through Friday, but that's another story. You guys are electing these people, and I don't get it. Michigan, you should, honestly, I love Michigan. I still have a house there. We're on 16 stations in Michigan Monday through Friday. What the beep were you thinking electing Gretchen Whitmer? What exactly were you thinking? What exactly goes through your mind when you say this is the person? She wasn't. And don't tell me about how, because she legalized marijuana, you guys don't need to smoke pot that badly that you're going to elect somebody that horrible. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Line 3 is going to be Mark in Connecticut. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? I just got a golf point and a political point, if you got time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the golf point, I think the PGA Tour had a chance to step up and be his, if they played the Masters. You know, they could have got together and said, we're going to play, and I'm sure they would have had little resistance. My father was in World War II, and so was Ted Williams. He risked his life, you know, 10 years after he hit 406 for the country.
Right, right.
Just a thought.
I hear you. No, I'm with you. I don't know. Well, why aren't we playing? Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Why aren't we playing golf? Why aren't we out in the open spaces? Social distancing seems to work. Then you had some doofus at MIT this week say, oh, no, coronavirus can travel 27 feet. And Dr. Fauci had to come out and say, no, that's not going 27 feet unless you're purposely projectile, you know, coughing and sneezing on people. That's not the case. And so he completely debunked that immediately. We should be outside. Outside activity should be allowed, and we just stay away from each other. This whole idea that we have to be locked in our houses is weird. What else?
Yeah. And on Trump, I'm his biggest supporter in Connecticut, probably the biggest liberal. I think the last Republican we voted for president was Lincoln. But he's made a few mistakes, I got to admit. I mean, he blew up our economy like by closing all these factories down, but he didn't address the stores. You go inside Walmart, it's like you're in a petri dish. So how do they expect this disease to go away? You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about Trump?
Well, anybody. You know, Trump seems to be the governor. He's out there, and he's making our decisions worse.
Yeah, your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know who your governor is, and I got to be honest with you, if it's some liberal, I probably have ignored
him. Yeah, he's basically Cuomo's lapdog.
Nice. Well, and Cuomo is making a fool of himself, too. He's got a great approval rating all of a sudden. Now, the idea that the Walmart needs to stay open, I agree with it staying open. But, yeah, there's got to be a policy in place to how you have to do it. And that people have to stay away from each other, and that people have to go in very small groups into the store. It's going to take longer, but you've got to go in small groups. People need their essentials, that's for sure. But, yeah, these governors are making decisions that are very, very strange to me. I think the president's trying to stay out in front of it. I appreciate the call, by the way. Thank you. The president's trying to stay out in front of it, and he's out there doing a news conference every day. Exponentially better than what Obama did in 2008, 2009 with H1N1. Obama waited until there were 1,400 dead Americans, then declared an emergency. And the day he declared an emergency, he went and played golf. And if you bring that up now, by the way, you're a racist. And people attack you on Twitter, which is ridiculous. I'm just reporting fact. This is what the guy did or didn't do. This president has been acting very, very swiftly and very quickly and bringing you the updated information from Dr. Birx, from Dr. Adams, from Dr. Fauci. You know, from Dr. Carson, he's bringing you information from the different departments, whether it be justice or whether it be Homeland Security. So we're at least getting as much information as we're allowed to have. I still think we should have more, and I wish that would step up. But it's an interesting quandary. So you keep Walmart open, you keep the drugstores open, you keep the grocery stores open, you keep the restaurants open for drive-through and takeout. So how do you ensure social distancing there? And he says, the caller says it's basically a Petri dish. I hear him. He's not far off, to be honest. Let me go back at it and say hi to line five. It's going to be a Eugenia in New York. What's happening? Hi.
Hey. Hi, Joe.
Love your name, by the way.
You sound good and vibrant.
Thank you. I'm doing well. I love your name, by the way.
Thank you. I was named after my dad. He's Italian, and my cousin is kind of stuck over there, but they're doing well considering the situation.
Yeah.
And I did want to talk to you about a few points that you've been bringing up.
This is
my first time listening to your show.
Thank you.
And I would like to say that as far as New York is concerned, everyone is being very, you know, we're all being good soldiers and trying to help each other out. And with that being said, SUNY New Paltz, our college, the science and engineering department, they have 3D printers. And so they have produced over 1,000 shields to be used for, you know, first responders, which
excellent.
We're all grateful to them. Central Hudson, which is our electricity company for the Hudson Valley, they're contributing. This gal, Sister Carol Ann from Connecticut, she had, God bless her, she had a roll of transparent acetate, which can be used. There's enough of it to make another 1,000 shields.
Wow.
Tattoo artisans are contributing gloves and gowns, and it's awesome. It's just really awesome. In terms of Walmart, I just heard your other caller. We have a Walmart in Newburgh. I think it's been there like 21, maybe 22 years. I watched it go up. In any case, we're about the Hudson Valley. Newburgh is Stewart Air Force Base. West Point is like maybe 17 miles down the road. And so New York is about, you know, maybe 90 miles, depends on where you're going in
right.
New York.
Right.
So anyway, and Newburgh is a major exit off of the thruway, so we get a lot of visitors and so on. You know, we have Washington's headquarters and the Vanderbilt Mansions across over in Dutchess County and whatever. My point is that the Walmart, I was there 2 weeks ago, and they had fresh air being pumped into the store. They had you go into the food area, collect your food, and if you wanted to pass through the rest of the store, you are permitted to, and then you would exit out another entrance. They have places on the floor where you stand. It's just really well run. So in terms of the Petri dish comment, I think it's up to the individual stores and the managers and the staff. And these people have been there, like I said, 21, 22 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know them by name.
Well, I hear you, but it sounds like in Connecticut where he shops, it's very different. And you're right. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it should be up to the individual stores. It shouldn't be autonomous like that. I think the company should say, this is how you do it, or
exactly.
else we're not going to let you open up. And here's our policy. Do it how they're doing it in Newburgh, which makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that. I haven't gone to Walmart. I'll be honest with you. We've been ordering stuff that gets shipped to the house. And I've gone to a drive-through restaurant a couple of times. But other than that, we're not going and mixing in that sort of way. Because
yeah.
I'm not really sure
yeah.
that people are following the directives. I think they should be able to go out, but I choose not to. But that's interesting that they're doing it right for you.
The other thing, too, is in terms of the virus and where it came from, there was a gentleman on at some point this past week, I don't recall, but anyway, he spoke about, and I know what he's talking about because I witnessed it in St. Croix. I'm in my 50s. I used to be in the travel business for like 20-some years, so
sure.
I had the opportunity to fly out of Stewart with American, and, you know, we flew all over the Caribbean. So anyway, we're in St. Croix, and we're bombing around, and there's an open market. So we stopped, and I wouldn't go in because the stench was overwhelming, and they're
right.
butchering chickens and cows and anything and everything that needs to be butchered and prepared for consumption is done in one location. Okay, so picture that. Picture, how do you say, like a you know, like a pole building with each end open, but you're in the Caribbean.
Right.
Heat, germs, okay, bacteria. So it's thought, it's been proven, per se, by this gentleman, where bats and cats and dogs and other animals are butchered in the same location in China. And that's where it stemmed from. Now, with that being said, Italy, how come Italy got impacted? Well, the thought is, and the numbers say, don't hold me to any of this. I'm just giving you information that was passed on to me, but it's something to research and think about, and you guys can do all that, because all
Eugenia, I actually know why Italy is being affected like that, because Italy has 300,000 Chinese immigrants that are there legally, and they've got a huge illegal immigrant problem with China as well.
And China
took off an entire area of Italy, in the Florence area. I mean, the mayors there were all greased. The people who are running the joint are all greased, and China came in and basically they don't even speak Italian there anymore. And this part of northern Italy, they speak Chinese. I got to run. I love you, and I love that you called in, and I love that you listened. Thank you. I appreciate the information. But yeah, that's why Italy is so heavily impacted. And they actually had a program at the beginning of this called Hug a Chinese. I'm not even kidding you. Hug a Chinese. This is how backward they were there, because these governors and these local mayors were all being greased. They were all being given a bunch of money, a bunch of payoffs. And now if you go to a certain part of Italy, there are signs in Chinese, and people who don't even speak the language, the Italian language. They walk around, they speak Chinese. And I guess they redid the port there, but they've taken over all the businesses. All the mom and pops in Italy are gone. They don't exist anymore. That part of Italy is basically little China now. So, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And we actually had that we exposed that last week with Tracy Beans from UncoverDC.com. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. We're coming right back.
Got a song so many goes like this.
Great to have you the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Appreciate you stopping by. Tons of interviews. Secretary Ben Carson. We've got Governor Mike Dunleavy from Alaska. We've got Brendan Carr from the FCC. We've got Dinesh D'Souza. We've got Ted Cruz. So many interviews, we probably won't be able to get to them all. So make sure that you listen to the Joe Pags Show Monday through Friday as well, where you hear all of these. We had all these interviews and many more just this week. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Your thoughts on what we face as a nation, what we face as a people. Definitely want to hear from you. It's going to be line two. And Ben in Michigan. Hi, Ben.
Hey. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Living the dream, man. What's happening?
Hey, here's my deal. Obviously, we're doing what we can here to obey the rules, but I'm a small business owner, work by myself.
Yeah.
I can work outside on a job site, never come in contact with anyone, but I'm told I'm not allowed to work. But if you're a government, if working on a government job or municipality, which I see people doing here, they're allowed to work, but landscapers, people like myself, we're told we can't. And I guess I'm just looking for common sense.
Why can't a landscaper work? You guys work outside. Generally
yeah,
speaking,
I work outside in concrete.
You're not standing, you know, 3 feet from each other. You know, you guys definitely can space it out. Well, see, that doesn't make sense to me. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. That's my question. I've called their congressman, you know, twice. I've called their Senate. Tried to reach the governor, of course, but, you know, she's holding in deep, you know, but, I just don't get that. I think right now we're being governed by fear and panic. One example is my mother thinks that, her question to me was, if you get this disease, does everyone get a ventilator? You know? So, I mean, that's what the media
is
getting people into thinking.
That's the question your mother had. Do we all get a ventilator?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, she's 91, you know, and she watches the news, and, you know, that they got people scared so much that, and the sad thing is you know, people buy into that kind of junk, and I don't personally, so.
I don't have any ventilators at the house. I'll tell you this. I don't have any ventilators waiting for the family. I think that we're going to be fine. The vast majority of us are going to be fine. I just don't understand why we have such a lack of information that they're allowed to spew panic on it. I mean, honestly, we are panicked because we don't know enough. If we had a little bit more information, we at least could act accordingly. We're just being told, stay inside now. In my county, you have to stay inside now. Why? I can't walk outside my house? I can't walk and go check the mail? Right. What are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. Unless this is a virus that can travel in the air, you know, for thousands of feet, it's not going to get me if I go and check the mail or if I go walk the dog. It's just dumb.
Yeah. I got one question before we're done, but... I don't think it's reasonable to think that we're going to totally eliminate this. So my question is, shouldn't we be debating on how we're going to get back to work, get back to some kind of normal? I just don't see that conversation being done much.
Well, the president tries to have the conversation. You know what happens? People in the media freak out. People on Twitter freak out. How dare he? He wants people to die for the almighty dollar. He's trying to save the Trump Corporation. That's how stupid they are. But people fall for it. I appreciate you. As you said, you know, your mom, and she's not stupid, but your mom listens and your mom says, oh boy, I better get a ventilator. She doesn't need one. She doesn't have it. So, you know, the idea that we can have the discussion or the debate about when to open the country up again, he says anything like that and they immediately attack as if closing the economy is a good thing. Keep in mind, there are people on the left who, way before coronavirus showed up, wanted the economy to crash. Look at Bill Maher, all of his quotes. He wants people to lose their houses, wants people to lose their jobs, because that would get rid of Trump. He has said that. And he's just somebody who is a microcosm of the left in this country. I've got about a minute for you. It's all yours, Deb. Go ahead. Hi, Deb. Got about a minute. Let's go.
I'm from Michigan, too, and I did not vote for Governor Hamflet. But the ballot proposal to legalize pot is why we got her, because it brought the dazed and confused out in droves. She did make a statement. I believe it was yesterday. Someone asked about the shutdown or our stay-at-home order, which expires the day after Easter. She made some comment about 70 days. If that shuts us down for 70 days, or if she does, that's going to take us past Memorial Day, just past Memorial Day. That's going to cripple Michigan's economy.
Well, it would. People don't realize, but Michigan is a huge tourist attraction on Memorial Day. Most everybody in Michigan heads north, and most everybody outside of Michigan starts heading back. So you're right. I'm with you. Deb, I appreciate you. Governor Hamflet, I had not heard her called that, but I think it certainly fits. 1-800-501-7080. Stay right here.
Across America, it's the weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, the weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Do me a favor. Stop by the website, joepags.com, and go and follow and like and whatever your favorite social media is, go and make that happen. This way we can subvert and go around and usurp and circumvent the algorithms they all put in place that say, you know, conservatives can't be heard. You can go and do something about that. Just click on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever one you like, and go and follow me there if you don't mind. Also, while you're on the website, you can scroll down and you'll see a bunch of news stories that we cover there. You can subscribe to the newsletter where you get an email Monday through Saturday telling you what's going to be in the program and much more. All right, glad to have you along for the ride. Also, we're on the Blaze Radio Network, and we love being on there. I've got a ton of interviews, a ton of things that we tried to get covered this week because everybody is so up in arms about coronavirus, COVID-19. We're not really sure what to do. I got with Senator Ted Cruz, who is at his house, and he's doing his work from home, as many people are, certainly. And he has really great information as to what we're all facing together. Senator, I appreciate you. How are you?
Bags, I'm doing terrific. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. It took COVID-19 to get us to actually see you on these interviews, so that's kind of interesting. are you home? Are you in Washington? Where are you?
So I am at home in Houston. Have been working here all week. Heidi's at home. The girls are at home. The whole family is here. They're doing school from home. She's working from home, and we're just being productive. I'm right here in the living room.
I love that the kids are doing school. I've got a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old that are still in school. Then I've got 3 older daughters that are out of school. And the 5 and the 11-year-old, they're doing school at home. The 11-year-old twice a day. I love it. I hated the idea that we were going to shut education down so early in the school year and have no idea how we're going to make it up. And the fact is, in the digital age like you and I are doing right now, that only made sense that we would continue education, right?
Look, that's right. Our girls are 3rd and 6th grade, and their school has them. They're doing an online program where they get assignments and they work on homework, and they're able to do a Google Hangout chat where they can talk with their teachers and talk with their classmates. And it's just been a week they've been doing it, but so far it's gone quite well.
You got to be careful, though, because I walked through right after taking a shower, and they were doing the Zoom or something, and the camera was on, so I had to sort of run past so nobody saw. You know, I was just in my sweatpants or something. So it's all very
good. You don't necessarily want to get broadcast to the school in your boxers. That'd be a mistake.
That'd be bad, Ted. It is Senator Ted Cruz. I talked to Cornyn the other day, and I want to get your insight on this. The $2 trillion was necessary. It's actually the third piece of legislation. Many people didn't know that. That had to do with relief for coronavirus and the pandemic. In that money, people are still kind of confused as to how they get it. We have a better idea now that many will get it injected right into their checking account or their saving, whatever account they have for direct deposit. Others have to apply for unemployment. Others have to apply for small business loans and the like. Ted, is this enough or is there more in the way?
Well, it depends what happens in the weeks to come. I think we need this was a major relief package. $2 trillion, even for Washington, is a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nearly 10% of our national debt. And it says something. In ordinary times, this would never have passed. There'd be no world in which I would support a $2 trillion bill in ordinary times. But these are not ordinary times. This is an extraordinary crisis, and actually two twin crises we're facing. A public health crisis of the coronavirus pandemic, and an economic crisis that's being caused by all of the governmental measures that have been put in place to protect the public health. We've seen now over 10 million people have lost their jobs in the last 2 weeks. And so this $2 trillion relief package, I don't call it a stimulus bill. It's not designed for that. It's designed to provide emergency relief, bridge loans to help people get through what is hopefully this temporary short-term crisis being caused by the pandemic.
It's Senator Ted Cruz, great state of Texas. I know that you were talking about Saudi Arabia and maybe even Russia flooding the market with oil. It seems as though those who aren't our best friends take every opportunity they can when they think there's a sign of weakness to try to damage us. I want to talk about the oil industry a little bit. We're a net exporter of oil now. But there's a certain amount of money per barrel that we have to get, these companies have to get, to do the fracking and to get it out of shale. If Russia and Saudi Arabia flood the market, that's going to drive the cost of a barrel so far down that it might stop industry here. Is that what your concern is?
Well, it's certainly a major concern that you saw what Saudi Arabia did in particular is decided to flood the market, to drop the price down, and to take advantage of this coronavirus crisis to try to bankrupt U.S. energy producers, to try to drive Texas shale producers out of business and take away a whole lot of people's jobs. Yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, I joined with 12 other senators. We wrote a letter to the ambassador of Saudi Arabia blasting the Saudis for doing that. I had a conference call with the Saudi ambassador a week ago where I think 9 of us were on the call, 9 senators. And it was as candid and bare-knuckled a conversation as I've ever had with any foreign leader.
Good.
Where I'll tell you what I conveyed, I said, listen, no state does more business with Saudi Arabia than the state of Texas. And you right now are waging economic warfare on Texas. And their response is, well, but Russia. And I said, but Russia, garbage. Russia is our enemy. We know it. They behave like it. And we treat them like it. You're supposed to be our friend. And so don't screw with us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, so this morning, the president tweeted out that he had had a conversation with MBS, the ruler in Saudi Arabia, and they'd reached an agreement. And I actually spoke just about an hour ago to the Saudi ambassador who called me, who said the Saudis have now agreed collectively and working with the other producers to reduce output by 10 million barrels a day, which should help stabilize the price.
Good.
But the problem is that's not going to fix the problem. That at least, if they carry through with that, that stops the Saudis from causing damage. But what's also devastating the energy market is that you've seen demand collapse. Global yeah. demand for energy has dropped between 25 and 30 million barrels a day. And that is because people aren't driving their cars and they're not flying their planes. Everyone's staying at home. And, you know, you and I aren't using much energy beyond the electricity for our computers.
Right. Exactly right.
That challenge has got to change. And so I'm spending a great deal of my time this week on the phone with business leaders in the energy sector. I just hung up with the U.S. Energy Secretary, focused on this issue and trying to help as many of the small independent producers, the small E&Ps, the folks who are producing jobs throughout the Eagle Ford, throughout the Permian, all throughout Texas, to help them hold on. But it's a challenging time. It is a big, big challenge in energy right now.
It is. Senator Ted Cruz, you know, it's a double-edged sword, Ted, because we like to go to the gas pump and say, man, I'm paying $1.50 or I'm paying $1.80. And we feel good about that, but we don't realize how many millions of jobs are in energy. It's in the tens of millions of people in this country. And the last thing we want to see is to see that collapse, because then we're all in trouble. I want to go to China for a second.
Go ahead. Let me make a quick point on that, Joe. That's a fair point, but we'd also like to see some sort of price stability in that if you see the global price of oil plummet to $20 a barrel or $10 a barrel, that'll give us cheap gasoline for a little while. But the problem is it bankrupts all the small independent producers. And then when the economy gets moving again, when we get beyond coronavirus, we could see $100 a barrel oil. But all of the little guys have been driven out of business, and it's just the super majors that are left. And then we end up paying much, much more at the tank. That ends up hurting the consumers, too. You know, it's nice to have a $1.50 or $2 oil, gasoline, rather. But if we drive everyone out of business in 6 months, we could be seeing $4 gasoline, which is not a good outcome.
And by the way, that's actually the plan by people like Russia and Saudi Arabia. And I'm glad that you stepped up. The plan is get rid of the little guys. The competition is gone. They could set the price wherever they want. And what do we have to say about it? Nothing. No, I completely get it. But it is kind of it's a double-edged sword because, man, I love paying less than $2 a gallon, but you're right. It could be $4 right around the corner. I want to talk about China, if I can, because we just added this $2 trillion We Care bill, whatever we're calling it. I know that it's not a stimulus, and it's right that we're doing it. I support that bill. But where are we getting the money? And are we really borrowing it from China? And if we are borrowing it from China, isn't that sort of circular that this whole thing started in China? Ted, can we financially ask China for some payback because of all this?
There's no doubt China bears real responsibility for this global pandemic. The Chinese government hid the outbreak when it occurred in Wuhan.
Yeah.
They kept it secret. They didn't bring in doctors. They didn't bring in public health experts. They let it fester for weeks and then months. When the doctor who was the whistleblower, they punished him. He ultimately lost his life to COVID-19.
Crazy.
And as a result of the communist government in China's efforts to cover this up, this became a global pandemic. If they had stepped in and acted quickly, maybe it could have been contained and kept a regional epidemic instead of going global. I think there needs to be serious accountability. I think we need to ascertain where this virus came from, whether it escaped inadvertently from the nearby Wuhan Institute of Virology, which was studying coronaviruses in bats.
Right.
I think that's a very important question to raise. I think all of those questions will come, but they will come after we have defeated this pandemic. I think the first urgency is the public health crisis and the immediate economic crisis. And the next step is going to be the accountability of what decisions the communist government of China made that contributed to what's happening.
The left media in this country, Ted, as you know, is taking China's word for everything. China is ahead of the world, and they're solving the problem when, in fact, they started the problem. I have no confidence in the numbers coming out of China. The allegation that we have more cases here than they had there is something we just can't substantiate. We have no clue. Do you feel confident that we have any idea how many people had it or died in China from coronavirus?
I'll tell you what I'm absolutely confident of, which is that their numbers are a total lie.
Yeah.
That it's complete fabrication. We know they're lying. We know China covered it up on the front end, but China claims that at the start of March, they had 80,000 cases, and at the end of March, they had 81,000 cases. Now, anyone who's seen the curve of this disease, that's not remotely credible. They just stopped acknowledging cases. And then so many of the U.S. mainstream media just dutifully parroted the propaganda, oh, the U.S. has passed China. We have no idea how many cases and how many deaths are happening in China because they're just lying about it. And the media, you know, the reason the media doesn't really want to report on that story is the network executives stand to make millions and even billions of dollars by access to the Chinese market, and they don't want to piss off the Chinese.
Right.
But you know, we need actually journalists who are willing to speak the truth and ask obvious and important questions.
Same sort of thing the NBA did when China was in question about Hong Kong. They completely turned against the Houston Rockets guy, and you had LeBron James talking about how, oh, he doesn't know anything about what's really happening in China, because LeBron James knows. The fact is, China is an authoritarian government that was shutting down free speech protests in Hong Kong, and the NBA was afraid to go against them because of the billions of dollars in stake, right? I mean,
the NBA was terrified of crossing China. One little tweet from Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Rockets, as you know, I'm a diehard Rockets
fan. I know.
Other than Houstonians, nobody knew who Daryl Morey was, and then the Communist Party of China made him famous because they lost their minds.
Right.
That he tweeted, "Stand for freedom and democracy, stand for Hong Kong," like an innocuous tweet, and the NBA prostrated itself. I mean, just. Begged and apologized, and it was embarrassing. You saw Nike pull products from the shelf because the Chinese were mad, and the degree to which the American business community is terrified of crossing the Chinese government is really an enormous challenge, not just today, but for the next year and for the next decades and centuries going forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's Senator Ted Cruz. I know you've got another interview coming up. One last quick one. There was some pork put in this bill. And you guys accepted it because the greater good was at stake here. You saw something like specifically the Kennedy Center got $25 million. Ted, the next day they fired everybody. They got $25 million, pocketed it, and then laid everybody off. Nobody gets paid anymore. When something like that happens, is there going to be hell to pay for the left because they were stopping? Nancy Pelosi already delayed it a week. We know that. You guys had a bill. You had it done. Chuck Schumer kowtowed to her. So when you see this money going out to ridiculous items having nothing to do with coronavirus, is there going to be hell to pay, or they just get what they get because they have the house?
Look, it was ridiculous and it was abusive. And that being said, and it was the price the Democrats brought as they insisted on these carve-outs. That being said, most of the garbage Pelosi was trying to get in there, we managed to get out.
Right.
And so you'll recall when we first were going to take up the bill was a week ago Sunday, and at the last minute, the Democrats blocked it entirely, and it's because Pelosi parachuted in with a list of demands of all these partisan objectives she had that had nothing to do with the coronavirus. Right. She was trying to ratchet up emission standards for airplanes. You know, I stood on the Senate floor and said, what the hell do emission standards for airplanes have to do with the coronavirus? Let's focus on the crisis and solve the crisis. Now, thankfully, you know, they were trying to push the Green New Deal. They were trying to push all of their political agenda at the voting ballot. Thankfully, most of that was taken out. And so look, at a $2 trillion bill, there are parts that I don't like and I wish weren't there, but the majority of it, I think, is important relief. The relief for individuals who are hurting, the relief for small businesses, $377 billion to small businesses and emergency loans, that is available to every restaurant owner, everyone who owns a bar or a nail salon or a movie theater or a hardware store, and that's needed relief. Guaranteed loans, and if they use that money to pay salaries or rent or mortgage or utilities, those loans are forgiven. So it's a grant. It's designed to help millions of people keep their jobs so they keep getting a paycheck during this time of crisis. I think that was important to do, and I'm glad we did it. It's why it was unanimous in the Senate, 96-0.
Senator Ted Cruz, we always appreciate the time and the access. Always brings it and never minces any words. I'm glad he went after Saudi Arabia the way that he did. And I'm glad that it looks like it got a good result. It's 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stop by the website for all the information you need on the Monday through Friday show and on the weekend with Joe Pags, including the social media. Go there and do me a favor. Just click on like or follow or whatever it is that you do on the social media. All right, do that. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you waiting. It's going to be line one. Jerry is a trucker on the road. Jerry, what's happening? Hi.
Hey, I want to talk about the reason that the California numbers of corona are so weird.
Okay.
And the reason is I have 24 immediate family members in my family. And now we didn't add all this up and figure it all out till about March. The first family got sick December 21st, and they were all feeling better by the December 24th. And we had a huge dinner at my house, 24 of us, on December 25th. And from December 26th till January 3rd, 11 more people got sick, got over it, and went on with their life. And that's why I think California's numbers are way out of whack, because it's, I think it hit us in December and January and February. We're already on the downhill side when all the numbers start coming out.
That's an interesting take. I mean, quite possibly. But we do know the numbers are still rising in California as more people get it, because if it did start in December, people certainly weren't self-quarantining. They weren't doing social distancing or any of that stuff. So maybe that's why it continues to be what it is. Plus, it's a large concentration of people in a smaller area. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Dr. Ben Carson when we come back. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Everywhere, JoePags.com, all the social media there, plus the Blaze Radio Network. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you here. I wanted to get with Secretary Ben Carson, of course, Dr. Ben Carson. He's the Housing and Urban Development Secretary. And I often wondered, and we've talked to him over the years about why he would be HUD and not HHS, but it makes a lot of sense because there is a lot that he knows about growing up in Detroit and about housing and so on. And he's done a great job in the position, by the way. So that it did make sense. Plus, his medical expertise obviously helps out in this situation and in many others, too. Doctor, I appreciate you. How are you?
Very well. I hope you're doing well, too.
Yeah, I am. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's a pleasure to see you on the stage with the president when appropriate. And I love the job that you've done as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Before we get into coronavirus and the response in earnest, let me just take you back to when you took the job. Did you expect that, well, no, nobody expected coronavirus, but did you expect that a health issue would somehow affect housing and what it is that you do in your department, or was that already sort of part of the game?
Well, things have been a little abnormal these 3 years.
You think?
You know? The first year we had a record number of tornadoes and
right,
hurricanes,
right.
And it was just amazing. Now we're having this. We've had the homelessness crisis. There's so much stuff going on. It keeps you on your toes. There's no question about that.
Without a doubt. So now we've got coronavirus. And one of the really great things you've been doing with enterprise zones and working with private and public partnerships to get housing and to get people off the streets. You've got such homeless issues in California and the like. Now that you're working as hard as you can to make sure that all that works. And also rebuilding inner cities and showing people, and you and I talked about this at length for a long time, to show young people in urban areas that, yes, the American dream does apply to you too. Does all that come to a stop because now we've got to focus on coronavirus, or how does that work?
Well, some people would like you to think it's going to come to a stop, but you know, this is a pause. And what we have to do is we have to bridge the gap, because we don't want to destroy the economic infrastructure of our country and have to start all over again.
Right.
And maybe start with a new system altogether. I think there's some people who probably would like that. But the fact of the matter is we were going tremendously well before all this struck, and we'll be doing tremendously well after it's over. This too will pass.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that there's been a bipartisan effort to try to salvage everything, because the fact of the matter is you know, if we allow the small businesses to be destroyed, it'll take a very long time to build them back up again. But if we throw them a life raft just to keep them going until we reach the shore, then we're going to be just fine. And I think that's what we're going to do.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, it's Dr. Ben Carson. You wrote an op-ed called How Team Trump is Racing to Protect Our Homes Amid Coronavirus. Is there a real fear, Doctor, that people who have mortgages that don't have much more than a month or so in savings, if even that much, or those that are paying rent might be in dire straits? And are you appealing to people, mortgage lenders and to landlords to, hey, take a breath and let's pause with us?
To everybody. And, of course, to those who have FHA-backed loans, you know, we've mandated that they cannot foreclose on anybody for the next 60 days.
Good.
And we've appealed to all the public housing authorities and those who deal with subsidized housing to exercise forbearance to look for anything else that they can do other than evict somebody with the promise that, you know, they will be made whole. And there has been $12 billion that's been allocated to HUD in the CARES Act. And $3 billion of that we've already pretty much dispersed already to make sure that, in fact, we're able to take care of those landlords. Because you have to realize that they have obligations that they have to meet also.
Right.
And we're also working with the services, with the lending organization, because they have obligations. You know, it's a domino effect, and we have to deal with everybody from the bottom to the top of the line.
It is Secretary Ben Carson, Housing and Urban Development. So that money, the $3 billion, immediately went to, okay, let's offset the cost, because you're right. If I'm renting and I can't afford my rent, then my landlord needs that money to go and pay the mortgage or whatever. You've got a system here where you've got a domino effect of people failing. Is it a matter of those lenders saying, let's put those payments at the end of the loan and give you a break right now? Is that what we're pushing for? Or is it actually getting money in the hands of the renters and the landlord's pockets so that they can pay their bills?
All the above.
Okay, good.
we have multiple mechanisms depending on the situation to take care of it. And certainly being able to take the mortgage that you owe for the months that you weren't able to pay it and put it interest free at the end of your mortgage works very well.
The president has a whole of government response to this crisis, which I think makes a lot of sense. Early on, and I think you probably would agree, maybe not, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but the left tried to make politics out of this. And in fact, now you've got Adam Schiff is going to start a commission and everything else. But Nancy Pelosi in the House, they try to put a bunch of garbage in the bill that had nothing to do with coronavirus whatsoever. Do you see the other side coming around? Because it was bipartisan. It was 96-0 in the Senate, and it was bipartisan in the House as well, eventually. But early on, it felt like politics were being played, Ben.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't think some of the politicians can help themselves.
True.
It's almost like a natural reflex. I got to get my pork in here. I got to do something. This is my big opportunity. Forget about the fact that we have millions of Americans who are in dire straits,
right,
who are worried about whether they're going to be able to make it for the next week or two. But I think they're coming around now, and they're realizing that was foolishness. Doesn't mean that that's not going to pop up again, because it will. We just have to keep our eyes on the prize, keep focused on what's right for the people. You know, politics really frightens me. You know, I'm not a politician. And when I see these people willing to put the welfare of their constituents aside for their political gain, it sickens me.
It seconds me too. It's Dr. Ben Carson, Housing and Urban Development Secretary. I've got to lean onto your medical, you know, background for a moment. I don't even want to know what a coronavirus is, other than I know that the corona is the word in Spanish for crown, so it kind of looks like a crown under a microscope. I mean, that's about all I know, right?
That's right.
So we're looking at it. This is not the first one. We're calling it COVID-19 because it's the 2019 version of coronavirus. From what I've read and what I'm finding out is that MERS is caused by corona, SARS is caused by corona.
Yes.
These things have been around for a long time. Doctor, what's so different about this one that we're going into full lockdown and that it's so incredibly contagious? What's the difference?
Well, this one is extraordinarily contagious. It's about 2 to 3 times as contagious as your ordinary flu virus would be. So that's why the exaggerated response to this particular virus, if we just sort of let it run rampant, it will kill a lot of people. And, you know, that's really the reason. And it has a predilection for older people and for people who have underlying conditions. And unfortunately, one of the things that we're seeing in this country is we have a lot of people who have underlying conditions, you know, diabetes,
right.
hypertension, heart disease. And a lot of this is lifestyle oriented. I hope maybe one of the things that we get out of this when we get through this is we need to be healthier. We just need to pay much closer attention to what we're eating, how we're exercising, because it has a profound impact on your longevity.
It's Dr. Ben Carson, Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Always appreciate the time and the knowledge. Doctor, you know that I have no medical knowledge whatsoever except what I learn from you and what I read. Is it true?
Yes,
and you know that I'm not as smart as you, but nobody is. At the end of the day, we know if we get the flu, we generally have an immunity to the flu. I haven't been able to get a direct answer to this, and maybe you've got one. If somebody has coronavirus and thousands upon hundreds of thousands have had it and they've survived it and they're fine and they're recovered, can they get it again or are they immune to it now? And can we use that immunity to help find a cure somehow?
Well, that question hasn't been fully ferreted out yet, but we believe, yes, that they do have immunity. And one of the reasons we believe that is because people who have recovered, we've been able to take their plasma, which has antibodies in it,
okay,
infuse it into other people, and they get much better. In fact, in one of the studies, I think it was in France that was done, nobody who got the antibody serum went on to need a respirator.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this is something that's being looked at very carefully right now. But I think we, between that and quinine-based...
The hydroxychloroquine.
...medication. Right. We will have particularly the ability to sort of stop this in its tracks. And I really think that we're going to make some big progress in that area over the next couple of weeks.
Before I let you go, and I appreciate the time and the access has always been, I really do, I've got to ask you about hopefulness. And the reason why I ask you this is because the president has been very hopeful. He's hopeful the economy can start back up. He's hopeful hydroxychloroquine will do something and help some people. And anecdotally, it already has helped some people. Doctor, is there something wrong with being hopeful? Because the left seems to be freaking out that the man keeps saying he has hope that things will get better. What did I miss?
Well, I think for some people they just are negative people, unless it's something that has to do with them.
Yeah, I'm
so,
with you.
You know, I tend to pay these people relatively little attention because they can really get you distracted. And you just sort of keep your eye on the prize and recognize what it is that we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is things for the American people.
Yeah,
and you know We're not interested in, you know, some kind of political prize here. But the political prize will come naturally because people will recognize who is actually trying to work for them and who is playing political games.
Yeah. I want to give you
a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
No, I agree with you. And the poll numbers show that they like that he's hopeful. They like that you're on this case. And they like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and everybody else, Dr. Adams. One last thing, maybe 30 seconds to just tell people who are worried about their housing, worried about their rent, worried about, you know, they're going to have a place to stay for their families in the next month or so. Just what would you say to them?
I would say, you know, we recognize that this is a temporary situation, and we are going to do everything possible to make sure that people are able to continue along their path of success once this is over.
We appreciate Dr. Ben Carson, always a straight shooter, always lets us know exactly what's going on, and always brings it. We appreciate the time and the access. He's a busy, busy guy. You see him on stage with the president all the time now. When it comes to these news conferences, giving us the information we need on coronavirus, we appreciate the doctor. Your thoughts, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. Pags, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. There's a lot going on. I wanted to bring you Dr. Ben Carson because he's a very calming voice. If nothing else, when you hear Ben Carson speak, you know that he's calm. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you need that. He was never my doctor, obviously. I didn't need a neurosurgeon, although some of you listening might think that I might. But he was never my doctor. But can you imagine somebody being that calm? All right, we've got to have surgery in your brain, and we're going to just cut it open and going to go in there and fix what's wrong, and then we'll put it back together, and then we'll grab a little lunch. And just, he's a calming guy. He's somebody that you hear him speak, and you think to yourself, man, I know he's going to cut my head open, and he's going to operate on my brain, and I might never be the same, but I just like the guy. He's very calm. He's very direct. He's very, very, he's easy to listen to because he puts you at ease when you hear what he's saying about whatever the topic happens to be. And that, I think, is important in a doctor, without a doubt. So we appreciate him coming on. Many more interviews for you next hour. Let me get some phone calls in here. A lot of people want to be heard. It's Phil, who's in Texas. Phil, what's going on?
Joe, how are you? He was my first choice.
I think I lost you. I'm going to go back to you. Let me take you again. I didn't have you. So he was your first choice for president?
Well, yeah, a man that could go inside a brain and separate conjoined twins.
Right.
Can do many things. But the reason I called is I went on the IRS website to input my banking information, and it's not ready yet.
Well, I thought they already had your banking information. Why would you have to put it in?
Well, no, when I filed my taxes in 2018, I had to pay them, so they didn't have to send me a refund. So this
it doesn't
time,
matter.
You
it's
know,
not based. It's not based on your refund.
I haven't filed my taxes yet, so there's no information. The point is that their web portal is not ready. It kicks me off. So I just wanted to let them know that it's not ready to accept banking information to have that check sent to your, because they don't really want to put it in the mail.
Well, I want to make sure that I'm following you. You have never had a direct deposit from the federal government?
They're basing it on the 2018 tax return, not the, because, you know,
that doesn't matter. Hear my question, Phil. Have they ever sent you a direct deposit into your bank account? Ever?
Believe so.
Okay, well, then you're fine. You don't have to set anything up. I know that it's certainly based on the 2018 tax return. You're right. But it's not based on what you got back or what you paid. It's based on how much money you made. And then they're going to base it on that. It doesn't.
Well, I understand that, but they want to send it directly to your banking account.
Right.
And it says, and on the website, it says, you know, you need to put it, you need to update the system with your current banking routing number. And it's not letting me do it. It's kicking me out saying it's not.
Has something changed? Well, that's why I asked you if you've ever gotten a direct deposit from the IRS. If you have, and your bank account is the same, you don't have to do anything.
I know, but it's not the same.
Okay. Then there's something good. That's why I asked the question. So, yeah,
well heard that they need to fix that because they're saying they're going to try to send these things out to your banking account. And if you need to update your banking information, it's not letting me do it. That's all I'm just. I just wanted to put that there because I know you're well heard.
Well, I know this. So when it came to like unemployment, I helped my daughter file for unemployment. They kicked us out quite a few times. We just kept on going back, and it finally worked. Were you persistent? Did you keep on going back like
a
thousand times?
I'm a persistent guy, Joe. I'm a PAGS guy. I'm a persistent guy. I mean, I called you 5 years ago in Mississippi. I'm a very persistent guy. Like trying to call you today, but the point is that it says there that you know, go into the web portal, and it's just not letting you go in there with your, because you got to have a password and a login, and it's just kicking you out. So I just wanted to kind of raise the alarm to somebody in the government to get on that and fix that.
I'll check it out. I'm on the page now. It didn't kick me out, but I'm not gonna have to update my information. My banking information is the same. I won't be getting a check anyway. But right. At the end of the day, I'll click through it after I get off the air, and I'll see if I can figure out what the issue is. And if there is an issue, I'll make sure I let somebody know. I appreciate you, Phil. Let me go to line two. Bruce is in Michigan. Bruce, what's going on?
Hey, Jill, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You had some other callers on this morning from the great state of Michigan, and the small business owners here should end up, taking a closer look at what the governor is considering essential businesses. You had mentioned the legalization of pot this morning. I would encourage anyone out there, and particularly the small business owners, go on to Google, locate your closest legalized marijuana facility, and Sky Mint has got several locations across the state. I went by one of their locations on M37 in White Cloud this morning. They are lined up for over a mile. So again, it is just crazy that she is prioritizing, you know, essential workers the way she is, and driving small businesses towards bankruptcy. And yet, you know, again, the legalization, I don't know where that money is going to, you know, whose palms might be getting greased, but something is.
Well, Bruce, is she saying that marijuana dispensaries are essential? Why are they open?
Apparently so, Joe. Apparently so.
Come on, man.
I've got some pictures I could text you. You would not believe.
Email. Just go to the website and email them to me. I'd like to see them. But that's a little bit ridiculous, to be honest with you. They should not be open. It's certainly not essential. And why do people have that kind of expendable money to go and buy some? Keep it here. Coming back.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, all the social media there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You could send me an email if you'd like. Also, scroll down, sign up for the newsletter. You get an email Monday through Saturday telling you what's going to be on the show, what we'll talk about, some news stories, and much more. Again, joepags.com. Also on the Blaze Radio Network, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. So we've got a lot going on. You might remember this guy. I'm pretty sure you do if you follow the news at all. Ronnie Jackson. He's an MD. He's a doctor. He was the doctor that did the physical on President Donald Trump. And remember, he walked out to do about a 10 or 15 minute news conference just explaining to the media what he found or didn't find, and the president was in great health. And the media ended up questioning him for about an hour. Does he have bone spurs? Is he on any drugs? Is he overweight? You know what I mean? And now he's running for U.S. House of Representatives out of the great state of Texas. And he has the president's support, so now he's being attacked roundly by the media. I really had a good time talking to him a few days ago. It's Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Doctor, how are you?
Hey, Joe. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you coming on. You know, it's kind of interesting because I was happy to see that you were coming on the program, and I remember how bad I felt for you. And I don't know that you wanted me to have any pity for you when we saw this go down, but when you were giving the report on the president's health, which was very good, the questions you were getting were so extremely juvenile from the media. Let me just add, because I think people want to know this right off the top, if you don't mind, Doctor. When you walked out and you were giving the report and you're just giving the, I think they wanted you to have opinion, and you didn't have opinion. You just gave, here's my medical report, here's what happened. Did you expect that kind of onslaught from the media?
No, not at all. I mean, I was supposed to get up there. I was going to be up there about 10 minutes. And,
right.
You know, Sarah Sanders just going to, you know, give the podium to me. I was going to read the results of it and maybe answer one or two questions and move on. I mean, I didn't expect to be there for over an hour. I was over there over an hour, you know. And it was just, it was crazy. They asked, like you said, the most ridiculous things. It actually worked to my advantage because after a while, they ran out of stuff to ask, but they just kept on asking questions, and they just got stupider and stupider as time went on. And even the other press outside of the press briefing room criticized them later on, saying they looked ridiculous and that they embarrassed themselves. So it was kind of it worked out well, and it really took it off the table. They'd been building a narrative for months before that about how the president wasn't physically or mentally fit to be president, and this just took it all off the table. It just removed it from the conversation. So
well,
it worked out well.
They wanted you to say he had a mental issue, or that he was unfit, or that he had a drug problem, for God's sakes. The things they were asking, and as a medical doctor, look, I'm guessing when you go in, you don't say to yourself, man, I'm really glad that this guy agrees with me politically. I'm guessing you go in and say, I'm just going to see if this guy is in good shape. I mean, that's the job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did a thorough physical exam on him from top to bottom. I did all kinds of cardiac testing. I mean, he's in phenomenal shape from a cardiac standpoint for his age. He was in the top 10%. But this is all stuff they didn't want to hear. I mean, this was one of their very first attempts to undermine his president. You know, I mean, they've done a thousand things since then, obviously. But this was one of the first attempts, and it just, you know, it frustrated them big time that they couldn't do it.
Rock, it's Ronnie Jackson for Texas13.com is the website. Ronnie Jackson, then the word F-O-R, Texas13.com. Go there. You're running to represent the 13th District. We'll talk more about that in a second. But I'm just so intrigued by what you went through last year and the grace in which you handled it. Did you get steamed at all, or did you just sort of see what was happening and you rolled with it? Because it appeared to me that you were frustrating them that you wouldn't take the bait.
Yeah, no, I saw what was happening. I walked in there. You know, they had Sanjay Gupta in there and a bunch of had a couple of medical correspondents from MSNBC, people that aren't normally in the press briefing room.
Right.
They were there as hitmen, you know, as to take me down and undermine the physical. But as I just stuck to the facts, like you said, and I just answered the questions straightforward. And they tried to bait me quite a few times. But you know, the funny thing, Joe, I'll tell you, as I was saying this the other day, and I got totally attacked by the press. I just posted a little something on Twitter the other day, but I was a little frustrated because, you know, they were demanding, I mean, absolutely demanding that I have a panel of psychiatrists come into the White House and, you know, examine the president, you know, and for his fitness for duty and all this stuff. And there was really nothing that he did that drove that. They just,
right.
they were going to use that. But guess what? You don't hear anybody saying anything now that Joe Biden is probably going to be the, you know, their nominee on the left. It's crickets now. I mean, nobody's demanding, you know, psychiatrists evaluate the candidates right now.
It's
I mean,
a great,
it's
a great point.
It works.
No, it's a perfect point because everything Joe Biden says is questionable. And look, my grandmother died. She had Alzheimer's. You see something very, very different in Joe Biden. You haven't examined him, so I'm not going to ask for your medical thoughts. But just as a guy watching him, it's clear that his thoughts aren't what they should be. He thinks he's running for Senate. He said that. He thinks his son was the Attorney General of the United States. He wasn't. You know, we saw what he said about firing the prosecutor in Ukraine. He pretends like he didn't say it. The other day, he called his wife his sister. And then the other day, he also said, we need to reelect Trump. So, I mean, at some point, the left has to realize there is some sort of difference in Joe Biden between now and when he ran or when he was the vice president. I mean, whether I agree with his politics doesn't matter. I see something different in him. And I don't know if your medical, you know, history comes into play or not, or just an American looking at this guy. As you said, there's something different there, right?
Right. Yeah. And you know, and my point was just like, be consistent. If you're going to demand that the President Trump be held to that standard, then demand it of the nominee on the left as well, you know, especially when, you know, there seems to be a reason to do so. But
it's I'm with you. It's Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Go and follow him now. Ronnie Jackson for Texas13.com is the website. You can follow him over on Twitter as well. I just did. Ronnie Jackson, the number 4, TX is his ad on Twitter. Let me ask you about coronavirus. People are scared to death. We have viruses around all the time. This is not the first coronavirus, obviously. SARS was a coronavirus. MERS was a coronavirus, or caused by one. Now we have one that's new, COVID-19. Came from Wuhan, China. We don't know how it came about. China is telling us very little. But people are panicked, doctor, because they don't have enough information. And literally, this is what we do as human beings. If I have no information whatsoever, I'm scared of the situation I'm going into. If I'm well-informed, at least I know what to expect. That's really what's going on. What can you tell people listening?
Well, I can tell you, you know, watch the briefings that are going on every day. The president and the administration being super straightforward about this. They have an expert panel up there. I mean, these are people that I know, you know, Fauci and Girard and, Alex Azar and all these folks. These are highly credible, highly reputable people that are really the experts in their field. They're being totally honest with everybody up there. Not everybody's parroting what, administration talking points or anything.
Right.
They're giving the actual facts up there. And you can go to, you know, coronavirus.gov and everything's posted there, the real facts. The problem is there's just still lots of misinformation out there. I mean, initially it was really bad where people were spinning this for political reasons, you
right.
know, just hoping that this was going to be, a black eye for the president. Still going on a little bit, but, you know, on certain channels, like I can't even watch some of the cable channels anymore, because the experts they have on there and stuff are just really trying to keep the hysteria going.
Right.
I will say that, you know, I'm not minimizing this virus. It has a potential to be a really big deal. We're going to see where this goes. It's dangerous in the sense that it's a novel virus that we haven't seen before. You know, you're right, it's coronavirus, but we don't have any immunity to it right now. We don't have a vaccine for it, and we don't have any medications that we know will work on it, but we're getting there. We're getting there very quickly. And I think when you look at the number, when this is all said and done, this is more my opinion than anything, when this is all said and done, you're going to see there are so many people in the country right now that have this that don't even know that they have it.
Yeah.
The denominator is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And we're going to see that the mortality for this is going to be close to the flu. I'm not saying this is the flu, but the mortality is going to be close to 0.1%, which is what the mortality for the seasonal flu is.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we're going to see in when it's all over and done with, that this is not near as deadly as it could have been, and a lot of that is based on the administration's reaction to this. You know, it's been pretty forceful. They've kind of locked things down a little bit here, and the president's hit the right note on all of this. He's you know, he's been initially locked down the travel from China when he had to, and but it's been measured and it's been based on facts.
Yeah, and what he's done is so much, it's exponentially better, faster, and smoother than what Obama did with H1N1, although those of us on the right weren't complaining about Obama back then, yet everything this guy does, there's a complaint. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, who's the Speaker of the House, where you want to go to the House of Representatives, I'm going to ask you about your mental your mental fitness that you want to go into that body, but Nancy Pelosi just the other day said, what did he know? When did he know it? He failed, and now Adam Schiff is going to drop some legislation where he wants to hold a panel now to review the response to coronavirus. Politics are still being played, Ronnie, and you want to go to Washington, and I'm hoping you want to fix that as a representative.
Well, I do, and that's why I want to be there. I'm just sick of it. I mean, I could go out in the civilian sector somewhere at this point in my life, and I could make way more money than I would make going back to Congress and being on a government salary.
Right.
But that's not what it's about for me. I'm just, you know, after that, after everything happened with the nomination for the VA secretary and everything, I had a really bad taste in my mouth for a while. There's about 5 months where I just was disgusted with D.C. I was like, I'm just going to move back home to Texas. I'm going to get out of this place. I'm just going to put this behind me.
Yeah.
Just, I can't stand the people here. I can't stand the politics. It really is a sewer a swamp. I'm disgusted with it. But after a period of time, I started asking myself, am I okay with this? And the answer was no, I'm not. And I feel like, you know, when Mac Thornberry announced that he wasn't going to run again, and I realized that the president was getting reelected. That is a done deal at this point. They have gone too far down that path. They cannot turn this train around.
Right.
He's getting four more years. When I realized Thornberry was leaving, he was going to be in office for four more years, and Thornberry's seat was where I grew up in the panhandle of Texas. I said, this is an opportunity for me to get into the game and make a difference, and therefore it's an obligation for me to get in the game and make a difference, and I'm going to get in there and I'm going to do something about it.
You know, the president is supporting your candidacy. And again, if you want to go find out more about Dr. Jackson, go to RonnieJackson4Texas13.com. The president's supporting you, and that immediately makes you a target. You were a target anyway because you dared say that he was physically fit and mentally fit. How dare you tell the truth? But now you're really a target because people go, ah, see, now we know why he lied about the guy's fitness, because he has the president's support to go run for Congress. Ronnie, do you care about that? Do you care that the left media is still attacking you, or are you just used to it now?
I'm used to it. I could care less at this point, to be honest with you. It's never going to stop. And I mean, at some point, you know, it's just I take pride in the fact that I know if they're tearing me up on, you know, MSNBC and CNN and the far left and the liberal press are coming after me all the time, I must be doing something right.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
I mean, I don't want their respect. I don't need their respect, and I don't need their approval.
So what happens should you win election, and should, hopefully, I hope to God, the House goes back to Republicans, the president gets reelected, and the Senate stays on the right? What happens? Do we move the country forward? Can we financially bounce back from coronavirus? I mean, what needs to happen? You want to go to Washington to do what?
Well, I want to go do a variety of things. I want to start off by you know, trying to fix the morally corrupt nature of this country. I think, you know, we're headed in the wrong direction from a very basic moral standpoint right now, and I think that's one of the biggest threats that we have right now. But in addition to that, I want to go in and I want to fix health care. I'm a physician. I think I can have a big role in that. I want to work on immigration. The president sent me down to the border multiple times over the last year and a half. You know, I just left the White House on December the 1st. I just retired from the United States military. I was in the Navy for 25 years.
Thank you for that.
And, you know, No, thank you. And so, you know, I have a lot of things on the agenda, but I think that there's a lot of things that need to be fixed in D.C. But, yeah, I think we can get back on track. I think if anybody can do it, the president can do it. I mean, he's not crazy about, you know, the money that we're spending on this right now any more than anybody else is. And our economy was really booming, you know, and it's taking a hit right now.
Right.
But he's gladly taking that on to keep us all safe. And I think that once this is behind us, if we have the Senate and the House and he's our president, I think our economy is going to come back. It's going to come back strong, and we're going to make a lot of progress.
On Twitter, it's at Ronnie. It's R-O-N-N-Y, Jackson, the number 4-T-X, or go online to RonnieJackson4FORTexas13.com. I'll make sure that I post all that. One last quick one before I let you go. I really appreciate the time and the access, Doctor. You mentioned the border, and that, of course, got my brain working. Isn't it kind of interesting? I wonder what your take is on this. Those like Gavin Newsom in California, and those like other very liberal governors or mayors have said, we should have open borders, we should decriminalize, we shouldn't have a problem with it. And those of us on the right have said, well, wait a second, come here legally. This way we know if you're bringing the plague with you. This way we know if you're sex trafficking or drug trafficking and so on. Now that we've got coronavirus, they are closing down the border. They are saying we can't just let people in. They're saying don't let the cruise ship come and dock here. Isn't that kind of, hypocritical? That we don't know who's coming across the border, a very porous open border, illegally every day, what disease they might have, if they've got a nuclear weapon, God knows what they're bringing. And now that we do have a known enemy in this coronavirus, people seem to be agreeing with what we've been saying the entire time. So just talk for, 30 seconds or so about the border and the importance of closing it down and making sure that people only come here legally, especially in light of this virus that we're dealing with.
No, it's absolutely, it's a good point. You know, there's all kinds of stuff besides the crime and the sex trafficking and the drugs and stuff that are crossing our border, and that's one of them. They don't have a problem with it as long as it was just getting people over here and potentially getting them registered to vote,
right,
which was the main goal of everything. But now that there's a legitimate health risk to it, they seem to have a little bit of an issue with it. And I'll tell you, I went to the border, and I was in San Diego. I was in San Diego, Rio Grande Valley. I was up and down the border. Like I said, the president sent me there multiple times, and you would have been shocked if you were in San Diego to find out how few of those people stayed in San Diego. 95% of everybody that crossed the border in San Diego was settled east of the Mississippi River.
Wow.
And that's why a lot of folks in California didn't care. I was shocked to find that out. But when I found that out, I couldn't believe it.
It's a stunning number. 95% are settling east of the Mississippi. Nobody ever saw that coming. We appreciate Dr. Ronnie Jackson coming on, running for District 13 Republican out of the great state of Texas, and I hope he wins handily. Your thoughts when we come back, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay here. It is the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Appreciate you stopping by. Let me say hello and welcome to line one. It's going to be George in Pennsylvania. What's happening, George? Hi.
Hi, Joe. Great show. It's great to have you straightening people out here.
Thank you.
I just got incensed by a couple of things. We had the governor of Connecticut calling an infant death there, coronavirus related, I'm sorry. And as it turns out, it was a suffocation by a caretaker. We had a Northampton County person here, the first quote-unquote COVID-19-related death was actually the guy died from falling down the stairs, hit his head. But they're blaming it on the virus. I wonder how much more of this stuff is going on. And because we've got people that are taking advantage of this. Apparently the governor of Connecticut has a real serious problem with their budget, and apparently you're looking to tap into the feds to try to bail them out. You got Cuomo that has a huge budget shortfall, and again seems to be playing off this. I really wonder how many of these deaths are healthy people or relatively healthy people that have died, or if they're all stretching the thing to the breaking point.
It's a good question, and I got to tell you, I don't know the two cases you mentioned. I don't live in Connecticut. I don't know. I take you at your word, though, and if they're relating people who died from other, like I've heard stories where somebody has a heart attack and has basically died on the way to the hospital. After they died, they check, say, oh, look, he had coronavirus. Well, coronavirus didn't kill the person. The heart attack did. So what are we adding into as those numbers? And do some people want to artificially inflate the numbers? I think they're valid questions. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We've got a lot more coming your way. Time for a few more phone calls as well after we hear another interview right here on The Weeknd.
This is The Weeknd with Joe Pags.
JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Do me a favor. Stop by the website and go and click on all those social media links, whichever one that you like, whichever one you use, and go follow and like and whatever it is that you do, because it circumvents the horrible algorithm that squelches some people's reach because of their political persuasion. And that really happens. If you don't think it's real, it certainly is. I want to bring you my interview with Dinesh D'Souza. He's a great movie maker. He's an author. We talked a lot this week about what the government is or isn't telling us. Why is this different? Why don't we know more? What's really going on? Is socialism seeping in at the same time? Dinesh, I appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing fine under the circumstances. Yeah. Hanging in there.
We got the T-shirt memo today, I see, which is good.
Yes. in Texas, it's a little dangerous to wear pink, but... I'm going to pull it off.
I think we're going to be just fine. Yeah, we're roughing it a little bit, so we don't have our collared shirts and our ties and everything. But that's not really what's necessary. What's necessary is what we're all going through together. You and I think are about the same age. I'm not exactly sure, but we've lived through, you know, SARS and bird flu and the H1N1, which it turned out to be the swine flu. And we have influenza every year that costs about 10,000 to 60,000 deaths. So why the freak out now? You sent something out on Twitter the other day that I've been saying since the beginning. What don't we know? And Dinesh, as a people, we panic when we don't know enough, right?
Yes. Part of it, I think, is the fear of the unknown. A lot of the media reporting on coronavirus is very suspect. So, for example, they'll say things like, you know, the number of cases has doubled in the last 2 days or in the last 3 days. Well, first of all, they don't mean that the number of cases has doubled. They mean that the case count has doubled.
Right.
And those are two completely different things, because obviously testing is more widespread. So even if the number of cases were the same, we'd be measuring more cases because we're testing more people. So the reporting of cases doesn't actually measure the spread at all. Now, I think the death count is in some ways a little more reliable measure of the spread, because after all, that is a statistic that can't be waved away.
Right.
We're counting the number of people who die from the virus, and hopefully we're counting them accurately. And that death count has flattened. So that is, I think, encouraging news. The bottom line of it is, to me, the global panic and the global shutdown is still a little incomprehensible. It's a little incomprehensible, and the rhetoric that goes along with it doesn't match the action. So I say to myself, is it the case that the world is in a freakout mode, or is it the case that they're withholding something? Yeah. It could be that they have information that they haven't shared. They don't want to cause even more of a panic than there is. And so there's something we don't know that would make sense of it all. But I have to say that each day I feel this sort of sense of that there's a fill in the blanks here that I'm still waiting for. And what we hear in the public domain doesn't quite match what they're asking us to do.
It's Dinesh D'Souza, great movie maker, great author. Go to his website for access to all of the stuff that he does. The latest book is The United States of Socialism, which we'll get into in a moment here. But also you're working on the new movie, and we can get into why you were able to actually work on it now during the shutdown in a moment. But back to what you just said a minute ago, not only are they playing games with the count, and then the media uses it like, look, Trump doubled the count overnight. But what they're not telling us as well is, as we get higher numbers of people who have been infected with COVID-19 or coronavirus, We also know that mathematically, that means that it's not 3% death rate. It's more like 2% or 1% or even less. 3% was the penultimate that it could possibly be because we didn't know who had it and already had it through their system, and they're fine. So there actually is a silver lining to seeing higher numbers and the death count not exponentially going up, right?
Exactly. Since the death count is a fixed number and the number of cases is an expanding number, right, a rapidly expanding number, it stands to reason that when you divide the one by the other, the rate of death occurring is going to go down and probably go down pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
But that only begs the question that we have clearly a serious problem. I firmly believe it's more contagious than the flu, for example.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the flu, we don't even dream of shutting down the world economy. So something needs to justify that kind of extreme action. And it's got to be the prospect of just a vast, vast number, not only of cases, but also of casualties and deaths. So that's, we'll have to see if that actually comes to pass. I think that in the beginning, we thought that this was sort of a political hit on Trump, that
right,
the left was jumping on this for its pure ideological benefit. Now, obviously, the fact that this is going on in India, my sister who lives in a remote part of India, they have a curfew. You got to do your shopping between 8 and 11 in the morning. So this is clearly a global freeze. And so I think there's obviously a lot more to it. But I also think that the credibility of the World Health Establishment is at stake. This
yeah.
is, by the way, one of the few institutions that people still trust. So if it turns out that this happens to be a great big scare, and we look back in retrospect and think we needn't have done all this, the Global Health Establishment will take a tremendous hit. It's one of the few institutions that I say we still trust.
Yeah.
And that trust will be out the window.
I couldn't agree more. It's Dinesh D'Souza. Get to DineshD'Souza.com. It's DineshD'Souza.com. And go and get all the movies if you don't have them already. Go and read all the books if you don't have them already. The United States of Socialism. Let's talk about what the left is doing via the media, via giving a pass to China. We know that this virus started in Wuhan, China, probably because they eat bats there. It went from bats to human beings. Wuhan, China was shut down. We have no clue how many people really had it there. We have no real clue how many people really died there. You know that I know that they're going to hide that number to save face or save their honor. But the media in this country is really what I want to focus on, because just in the last 24 hours, almost every leftist legacy media outlet has been touting the praises of how well China handled this. Dinesh, that is such a foolish thing to say, but they know that people who rely on them for information will believe it. It's just not true. Is there some socialistic aspect to the media joining with the left in this country to not only make Trump look bad, but also to somehow make China, the bad guys in all this, look good?
Well, the socialism that we deal with now is a weird type of socialism that's a little different than sort of classic Marxist socialism.
Okay.
Because Marxist socialism was basically about class. It was about the rich and the poor, the workers and the capitalist class. Our socialism, I call it identity socialism because it involves the politics of race and of gender, of sexual orientation. So, for example, this attempt to basically say that it's racist to call it a Chinese virus, that doesn't reflect, Marx would not make sense of that. He wouldn't know what you're talking about. But that reflects identity socialism. You're somehow supposed not to identify the source of the disease. Now, if the source of the disease had been Western Europe, if it had come out of Holland and you call it a Dutch disease, no problem.
Right.
Because under identity socialism, it's perfectly okay to indict the white man. Notice, for example, how the white man who brought diseases that killed off the Indians, no hesitation in blaming that on the Europeans, even
right.
though the white man historically got those diseases from Asia. Those came from Mongolia, from the northeastern Asia.
Right.
So that's part of what's going on. The other thing is that it's not even clear. It could be the Chinese diet, the bats, the monkeys, the dogs, and so on. But it could also be, the Wuhan lab in China was basically boasting that it had the widest collection of viruses in the world. Now, I'm not saying that this was chemical warfare, but I'm saying it's possible that the virus came from there. It was somebody carried it out accidentally. It spread through Wuhan. You know, I notice a kind of unbelievable lack of media curiosity in trying to trace how this quote got out.
Yeah.
Where did it start? you know, watch the movies, Outbreak, or they're always trying to find out where did this start.
Right.
But not here. There's a kind
of not allowed to ask.
Curiosity.
Yeah, we're not allowed to ask. It's actually a very interesting point. You know, Lyme disease is named after a city in Connecticut. MERS is named, is the Middle East, you know, respiratory syndrome. We've never had an issue about geographically identifying where we get these things. And also, you learn the geography to find out why it happened and how we stop it next time. You're right. This time, you can't do that. You had AOC from the very beginning calling us all a bunch of racists for not going to Asian restaurants. And now she's saying, of course, you should stay home. But the left, I mean, they immediately lined up behind this. And I think you're right in the statement you made earlier. And by the way, DineshDeSouza.com, go there. The new book is The United States of Socialism. I think you're right that the left jumped on it because it already existed. I don't think they made it up. I'm not a conspiracy theorist that they made up this pandemic. But man, the Rahm Emanuel saying, never let a serious crisis go to waste, is in full bore here, isn't it?
I think part of it is that the left is desperate here because through a weird set of circumstances, they knocked out all of their own viable candidates and have ended up with Joe Biden. And this guy he should be on Comedy Central. Him on TV, first of all, he's licking his fingers, he's poking his nose, he's poking his eyes. Then he's looking down at his notes, and even with his notes, he makes no sense.
Right.
So you watch this. If I was on the left, I mean, my heart would sink every time the guy appeared on the screen.
Right.
It's not about gaffes. It's basically about a guy who doesn't even quite know where he is. He doesn't know the number. He doesn't know how many grandchildren he has.
He doesn't know what job he's running for. There's a video every day from Biden. So you're right. Go ahead.
So ideologically, I think they have to make the election about Trump,
And
they've got to try to sting him and wound him enough. Now, ironically, crises can cut two ways. On the one hand, it's true, they can sink the economy, and to that degree, they take away a powerful talking point for Trump. But on the other hand, a crisis also brings people together behind the president. FDR used a crisis that way to unify the country behind him, and Trump can do the same thing, and I think to some degree he is. So the bottom line, it is not clear to me that the politics of this cuts against Trump at all. And it may well be that it opens the possibility for Trump of an even bigger landslide than he would win otherwise.
A couple of quick last questions with Dinesh D'Souza. I always appreciate the time and the access, Dinesh. As we're watching what's happening in New York, arresting a pastor who dared, you know, put together, or no, actually it wasn't New York where the pastor was arrested, but in New York, de Blasio, I guess, got wind that somebody dared hold service. And he literally said these words: if we see this happening, or if you see this happening, report it to us, and we will consider closing down that place of worship permanently. In socialism and communism, there is no place for religion because the government has to be the religion. The government has to be the provider, the be-all, the end-all, the higher power. So do you see an aspect of socialism / communism coming in when you see them letting rapists and murderers out of prison so they won't get the virus, yet they've got room to arrest pastors?
Well, look at it this way. First of all, would de Blasio ever say something like, if I catch a Planned Parenthood open in New York, not only am I going to shut it down, I'm going to make sure it never opens its doors again. He'd never say that.
No.
Point here is that this shows not only it shows the dictatorial mindset that's behind these guys, because it's not ultimately about saying, hey, guys, listen, let's disband for now. We're in a temporary situation. Obviously, you can resume masses next week or the week after that. But no, his idea is, if I catch you on this, I'm going to use this as a pretext to make sure you never open your doors in the future. So there's a kind of a thuggish mentality here on the part of some of these guys. You actually realize what they would do if you actually gave them power. See, let's remember that some of these measures that we're taking under an emergency situation, they're in recognition of the abnormality of our situation. But in socialist countries, some of the things we experience now, like empty shelves or rationing, you can only buy 2 cartons of milk, that is normal. That's everyday life. And so I think one of the interesting things now is we're getting the kind of experience. Normally, it's hard to describe to people. When Debbie tries to tell people, my wife, about Venezuela, they look incomprehending. Like, what do you mean the stores are empty? What do you mean you can't buy bread? But we are now experiencing in a very small way what that would look like on a permanent basis.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's Dinesh D'Souza, movie maker, author. Go to DineshDeSouza.com. Get all of his stuff. If you don't mind, just give me a quick answer. Anecdote though. I know that you guys just finished filming, right? The movie that you're making, and this actually gives you time to edit it and put it together. How did that go down? The timing just happened to be, okay, it's time to lock down and shut down production, and you had finished?
Yeah, I mean, I'm breathing a huge sigh of relief because at the very end of March and the first 10 days of April, we were filming frenetically both in New York and Pennsylvania. We shot important scenes involving Trump. In fact, young Trump. We recreated some aspects of young Trump. We then went to Pennsylvania. We shot a beautiful scene about Lincoln making his train journey in 1861 from Springfield, Illinois to Washington, D.C. So great footage, important for our movie. And had we punted on that and tried to shoot it later, we wouldn't have gotten it. So now I feel very happy. We've shot about 95% of the movie. We may have to forego the last 5%, but we got enough to make a great film. So we're in the process of just sort of the sausage making process of putting it all together. And it's really fun. So I'm being productive through these times. And Debbie and I are keeping busy on the movie.
And people can get the book right now, United States of Socialism, right?
Yes, it's available for pre-order. It's out the first week of June, but you can pre-order it now.
Beautiful. Dinesh, we appreciate Dinesh coming by. We appreciate him every single time. He's got great common sense, great knowledge, and I want you to go to DineshDeSouza.com and go and get his latest book and make sure that you keep yourself on your toes waiting for that movie to come out, because it's always a great, great watch to see some of these documentaries that he puts together. It's 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Stay right here. Great to have you the weekend with Joe Pags. Thanks for stopping by. Do me a favor, stop by joepags.com and go and click on the social media, like and follow if you don't mind. Also, you can scroll down and sign up for the newsletter. Just put your email address in the box and then click on subscribe, and you get an email from me. No ads and nothing spamming you. I'm not going to sell it to anybody. You'll get an email from me Monday through Saturday telling you what's going to be on the program that day, the great interviews that you're hearing, and much, much more. So make sure you stick around. Plus, when there's a PAGS parody or not. And we did play one earlier in this program. I want to take some phone calls, so you're not going to hear it again here. But certainly, if you listen Monday through Saturday, you'll hear those as well. Let me go to line three. It's going to be Mike in Maine. Mike, what's happening? Come on.
Hey, what's happening? Thanks for taking my call, Joe. First of all, I just want to say this. I think a lot of people would agree, maybe disagree, but I think this was intentional from China. And wouldn't it be great if the Republicans decided to go and try to impeach the Democrats for colluding with China? Because, come on, man, do you think that a guy who's going to send help to 57 states is going to pull this country out of this? Or a guy that thinks he's in New Hampshire when he's in Vermont? I think the thing is right here, our greatest enemy is these people. These people in our government who has been infiltrating it through the colleges and everything else, warping all these young kids' minds to think that this is the worst country in the world. When actually, you could send them over there for a year or two, and I think they'd have a different attitude. So I think we need to support everybody that agrees with Donald Trump, everybody that loves Donald Trump, the greatest president who ever lived, who ever will live, I think, or else we're going to lose this country.
I hear you, Mike, and I appreciate that. The Democrats certainly have been on the wrong side of much for the past 3 years, and there should be hell to pay this November at the ballot box. I certainly hope that there is, because you can't have Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and the like running the House of Representatives anymore. Robert, got about a minute or so. What's happening?
I'll make this quick, Mr. Pags. I want to know if the Democrats are using this virus to stop the investigations of Hillary Clinton and the Barr investigations.
Well, no. Why would that stop them?
Blunt it. Focus on something else.
Well, I mean, they're very good. They're very good, and I appreciate that. They're very good at distraction, obviously. But let's talk about what really happened. The Democrats forced both the House and the Senate to be focused on impeachment until February 4th. We found out about this virus in this country in January. They were still focused on impeachment, trying to get this president removed, instead of focusing on the job that they're supposed to do, which is to represent the people that sent them there. They weren't representing the people. They were representing their own interests, their own want and desire to be progressive in this country, to be socialist in this country. and it failed miserably. So when November comes around, if the Republicans have a brain, and I hope that they do, some of them don't. Some of them are establishment, you know, fat cats like the Democrats. But if they've got a brain, they'll use this against the Democrats, rightfully so, to say, look what you were doing. Well, the world started finding out about coronavirus. You were focusing on removing a president who was duly elected. We got to get out of here. That's Anthony. That is Damian. I'm Joe Pags. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.